Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Now, I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this evening. Being Monday, the 19th of September, 2011, with another exciting broadcast, and as always, when listening to the Hour of the Time, make sure to have pen and pencil or paper ready to take notes. Lots of dates, acts, laws, and events always coming your way. But first, the contact information. If you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, that's Hour of the Time, or HOTT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, that's hourofthetime.com. And if you'd like to send me an email with productive questions or to share research material, many of you like to volunteer for writing and activities or to arrange a conference in your own area with friends and allies on issues of state sovereignty or outdoor skills, you can email me directly at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Again, the website, hourofthetime.com, and one more time, our physical mailing address, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. Now this evening, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be giving you updates on the events of this past weekend. The first major successful assertion of county and state rights in decades, and it was a success. Also, we are going to be interviewing, as time goes on, people that were at the events on site, those people that weren't gutless cowards that hid under the rock somewhere, the people that came out to defend liberty and the Constitution and county and state rights that were there, we'll be having them on as guests to discuss these topics and how you too can institute these republic-restoring and constitutionally restoring measures in your own cities and counties and states. And again, a good reference list of audio series that I've done in the past that have been proven in courts and by jurisprudence doctorates, research fields, is the State Sovereignty audio series, the Statehood audio series, History of Property Rights, Allodial Titles and Land Patents, and Lack of Federal Jurisdiction. All of those audio series will give you days and days on end of listening and research. In fact, most people that have used the Statehood or State Sovereignty series in their endeavors where they live and have made major headway as we've released these things since the 90s, early 90s even, have had to listen to each one-hour broadcast in some cases, and it's not because they're dumb, it's because they're taking thorough notes and researching the case law that I give and the acts of Congress, etc., and those first principles that are oh so important from the very foundations of this country. They have had to sometimes a one-hour broadcast may take them 20 hours of going through. In other words, play, pause, over and over, rewind. You know, of course, it's an audio file, an MP3 or CD, so it's a little different than the tape days, but you know what I'm saying. Or a cursory overview, as I suggest, is to listen to it and don't take a single note. Listen to the broadcast And if it's a series, listen to the entire series in order from start to end. And don't try to absorb anything your first time around. A review, a cursory overview. And that gives you a mindset on how to structure your notes. You have to structure your notes for you. I can't structure them for you. And what you write may not flow right for me. And notes that I might write and give you wouldn't flow perfectly for you and your learning, the way you absorb the information in your brain. So listen to it live as always, and then a cursory overview again on a rerun, or become a member of the Hot Club and receive every live primetime broadcast Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern on one disc, plus a plethora of PDFs. The August Hot Club, besides the 21 audios or 20 audios for the month at the primetime slot, they also received literally in the thousands of pages of documentation on that one disc in PDF. Every month, the Hot Club is a good way to build your research library. And again, you can go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop for those details. Now, we're going to go to a musical break. And let me get a drink of tea here and wet my whistle, per se, because my voice is scratchy today. And gather up a last few documents I want to cover after an overview of the events of this past weekend and why they were so good and why they are so historically important. And some updates on our authors and jurisprudence researchers and PhDs that are going to be at the conference after some phone conferences last evening that we had with all of them. Some of the great added bonuses the conference attendees are going to get in 2 weeks, on-site, face-to-face, in the classroom materials and books and the presentations. So be prepared after this musical break, as always, to take notes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Again, tonight, Monday, the 19th of September, 2011. And our free research offer for this evening, if you email me directly at hourofthetime@hotmail.com tonight, and tonight only, when this broadcast is new and live, I will send you for tonight's free research offer something that you need to read to understand some of the mindsets and background out there that have been taking place around the country. This one is Public International Law and Its Territorial Imperative. Just reference in your email Public International Law to hourofthetime@hotmail.com tonight and tonight only when this broadcast is new and live, and I will send that to you as a free research bonus. And remember, always save these and keep building these up in your offline research library. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the events have really been great over the past, I would say, since December. We talked about the alliance workshops held with multiple county sheriffs, state senators, state representatives from different states, experts in different fields, whether that be NEPA or riparian habitats or social economics, all under the roof, county attorneys, the actual elected county attorneys, supervisors and county commissioners from across the region. And as this has happened, you have seen this blooming of knowledge take place, ladies and gentlemen, as the educational level keeps increasing. People realize, finally, in many positions around the West especially, but we've done these all back East as well in several states and areas with elected officials, but especially out West here, people have realized their constitutional power and authority ever so more. And see, Hour of the Time has for years told you about how to do the research, how to get the research, and giving you these constant research offers, and engagements, face-to-face engagements available to you. Hell, organize one in your backyard. You know, it's pretty simple. A gentleman back East did one in Pennsylvania, and he said he didn't have but about 30 hours all involved total in all the organization, and we had our buildings and wireless internet for the sake of the students, and lodging and meals and everything, all worked out. So it's pretty simple, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as this educational level has increased, it has empowered people to realize that they can do something, and then they take action. Now, that's the key leap right there. Many people like to sit around and do nothing. They will instantly come up with reasons why it can't be done. We'll get shut down. It can't be legal. It's too much work. I don't have time. And really, that is just an appeasement. When they give those excuses, they're really just appeasing their own psyche. Because really, they're cowards. That's what it comes down to. They're lazy. They're slugs. They're sloths. Mental pygmies. Whatever you want to call them. Don't make excuses, ladies and gentlemen, to avoid a restoration of our constitutional republic. And the only way it can happen is not, who cares who's running for president? The president, if you actually believe out there in the Constitution for the several states in this country, the federal Constitution, that is, then you would know that the legislation originates in the House, not in the White House, that is, as in the House of Representatives. Congress, our bicameral system. The president is a figurehead, ladies and gentlemen. Now, many of you have wasted your time and efforts and energy and gas and donations on trying to get certain candidates in to the office of the president. But why? On average, a complete congressional district, because voter turnout is so poor, can be controlled with 8% of the populace. Would it not be wiser, and this is of course a rhetorical question, to simply concentrate in your backyard and get constitutionally minded congressmen and senators at the state levels. And if you're worried somewhat about the federal level, that as well. The same 8% applies. Now states go up and down. California is on the verge of dropping as low as 6% in several districts of voter turnout to control a district, a congressional race. Arizona, 16%, 40%, down to 8%. Every district's unique. But many institutes have come to an average of an 8% or 10% percentile. Average voter turnout can control a district. So it would be much better to elect several where it's more feasible, the funding is less, the area to cover is less, the amount of people to educate is less, and get many constitutionally minded representatives elected at the county and state level. And don't worry about the figurehead, because almost anyone you elect, and history proves this out, in the office of the president is going to toe the line and do the duties of the CFR and Tri-Lats and RAND and the Committee of 300 or whatever you believe in, ladies and gentlemen. The counties and states are where the real authority in a republic lies. And you can't do this without the support of the sheriff. And that's why that is so important. Now, those of you who live in states like, we'll take Connecticut. They got rid of the sheriff. It doesn't exist. You have a state trooper system only anymore. You just need to move out because you've done sunk your state if you voted for that and then got educated after the fact, or you moved there and walked into a mess. Connecticut's lost. They've taxed almost every business out of their state. What used to be the militia or Minuteman state has all but ran out all those industries. So Connecticut is a flop, in other words. And for a state to get rid of their sheriff, something from common law England, Magna Carta's Articles of Confederation, and then they just voted out in lieu of a state police force, I think you already see the bulk of the mentality of the neighbors around you. Get out somewhere that you can be productive. Now, I'm picking on Connecticut because that is just such an absurd thing there, getting rid of the sheriff and only going to a state police force system, but that gives you an example. Look it up if you don't believe me. It happened. Now, ladies and gentlemen, part of this educational process is on the ground in seminars and in classes like the conference in 2 weeks. It's a week, 6 days, 7 days technically, but we have a day off for visiting and enjoyment and sharing research. But 5 core days of sharing and all the off-site conferences and speaking engagements that are literally constant and the broadcast here. You've been given those tools already. So take that leap and take action. And if you're going to be one of those naysayers that's making excuses up so you can be inactive, just stay away. You've made your choice, and I don't need any sluggards around wasting our time. Neither do my allies. Wonderful people out there. The Johns and JRVs and Bruces and Bobs and Dannys and Alex's of the world, and Ronnie's, and Sharon's, don't need to be bogged down with people who are going to constantly make excuses as to why they don't need to get involved. Now, the weekend events, why were they so successful? I told you in the last broadcast how U.S. attorneys and why the principals there under courts of equity couldn't fulfill their desires to apply injunctions or restraining orders because what the county and state is doing is lawful. And culminated in work from avenues all over the country in reality on Saturday's events. Now, of course, the events, because threats had been made and posturings had been made, we're going to send a busload of marshals, or I'm Mr. Left-Wing Communist Environmentalist and I'm going to attack your event. Security was, of course, important. So the sheriff, understanding his full authority with his fine deputies of the county, made sure the area and the venues were safe for everybody. Yep, we all walked around. I had permission, just to clarify, just wanted to hear it again. Benny, the sheriff, Benny is a great guy. Attended our seminars in December and has just been a sponge for information. As a sheriff, ever since being sworn in, before being sworn in as sheriff, career deputy before that. And he said, well, yes, of course, get your 45 on. You don't need to take it off just to walk into this event. Everybody has the right to be armed and defend themselves within our counties and all over. See, that's the attitude, ladies and gentlemen, and why it's great. And to see the people all over exercising their Second Amendment, First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment rights, and Tenth Amendment rights all over is a great inspiration, ladies and gentlemen, for many people who went in, they weren't going to be sorted out, and were going to make a stand. And literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, ladies and gentlemen, no exaggeration. Now, I videoed the whole thing in high def, which is much more than necessary, but it's always easier to downgrade an image than to try to soup up the quality later. And we'll be working on that in the form of educational DVDs for elected officials, sheriffs, counties, states, whoever, to have out there available for you. Not just little snippets on YouTube. Full educational packages that go along with the conference DVDs, for instance. Now, as people gathered and safety was ensured, we were able, good peoples, your Bobs and Bruces and Johns of the world and Herbal Eves and Gary's, all over, Tom and Mary's, to get up in key locations for the safety of everybody and for filming quality to document the events in case something went awry or just to record for future preservation and education. And as the events kicked off, there was an excitement in the air, a thrive that is seldom seen anymore when people take back their constitutional rights and assert them. Now, many of you over the years who've been with us, why have you stressed, this is the question asked, the jurisdiction and delegation of authority since the 90s? Because that's where it's at, ladies and gentlemen. Now, even if you're completely ignorant of the law and were a couch potato, you still would have picked up on that watching ignorant-ass TV shows. Have you seen where the two levels of police maybe fight it out in a sitcom or drama or whatever they're called on television? I don't watch it, so I'm not very good help here. I just have people tell me and tell me about broadcasts on the television. But where they, I have seen snippets where the cops are fighting it out. Well, you don't have jurisdiction here. I'm in control. Or this is my area. Or I'm throwing this out of court. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that prevalent. It is that important. And that's why we've done the thousands of pages of documentation in the libraries and the research offers, like tonight's offer, for you and the broadcast, lining it out from the Articles of Confederation forward. Now, when you empower people, ladies and gentlemen, fear can be displaced. Now, there were wives, and I assume husbands too, but I mainly heard it from wives or spouses or girlfriends, as the day was getting geared up. Well, aren't you scared we're all going to get gunned down, or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen? No. Why should you be scared for doing what's right? And think about it this way, ladies and gentlemen, when you take your stand, if a despotic arm of the government comes and cracks down, and the jackboots come marching in, you'll finally have your answer, ladies and gentlemen, on exactly where our country sits. You'll no longer have to wonder. You'll have your answer. Ladies and gentlemen, if you insist on hiding from every boogeyman, you're never going to get anything done. But these workshops and seminars and conferences and broadcasts can help you build your information and knowledge base and dispel that fear and go forward to a full restoration of our republic. Now, as the events kicked off, it kicked off with a prayer and a pledge of allegiance to the flag for the United States and their oath and promise to the state of New Mexico flag. They have a really unique pledge to their own state flag. And then the speaking began. We heard from county commissioners, mayors, sheriff, deputies, elected officials at all levels, writers and authors, researchers. Congressman Pierce, U.S. Congressman Pierce, was a keynote speaker, of course, if that's what you call it. His staff around the crowd asking questions, getting input. A truly real representative of we the people, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there were some naysayers there, but like one watermelon holding up a sign, of course, made on a paper product from trees, was whining and bitching, and he's a typical sloppy looking like I'm not kidding. This sign could have been made probably more coordinated and better looking when I taught kindergarten by my former students than this gentleman's sign. And of course, someone in the crowd simply turned to him and said, "Well, what's your sign made out of?" Well, he packed and left, and of course, safely. No one was harassing him or beating him up or nothing like that. Typical leftist idiot, clenched fist and all, and he needed to leave anyway. He was useless, dead weight. But you always have naysayers, and I've been at events or been on the floor of the state senate to testify at critical aggressions against our county and state rights. And have won. And I'm up there at a podium with an ally there to help me, or multiple allies there to help me because of the hearing time and date didn't work for everybody, and had droves of people, standing room only, behind me, against me. Who cares? Okay? Who cares? They're wrong. Let those petty little megalomaniacs and dictators run off to their hole. Now, as the events culminated and the spirit grew and grew, we heard from a pastor who organized a property rights group. And they have they're new. They have nice shirts. They have a lot of learning to do. But they're there doing something, so who cares? They're started and they're doing something. And he's a career pastor and rancher, and gave a wonderful, inspiring speech on the degradation of our rights in this country. As did Congressman Pierce and several other people. And the spirit and the fever grew higher and higher. And it was great. And then we proceeded off to the site of the initial 80,000 acres county taking. Under emergency measures, duly given them as county leaders, elected officials, and state officials, their rights to protect those rights and inherent rights to liberty and prosperity, health, safety, and welfare, depending on what kind of lawyer you're talking to, of we the people. And Congressman Pierce cut down the first tree. And I hope everybody realizes, ladies and gentlemen, even the date is significant. I had told you already, and many of you were invited to attend via the broadcast or via the email news network we run. September 17th, 2011. Tell me what happened September 17th, 1787. In fact, whoever answers me first tonight, why this broadcast is new and live, September 17th, 1787. On that same date, back in 1787, what took place? The first email I receive, I will send you a link to a massive legal treatise, indexed. It's huge. It's going to take a long time to upload and download, trust me, for you, the winner. Whoever answers first, I'll simply go by the time stamped on the email. I will send you that. It's going to take a long time, trust me. You're not going to download it in a few minutes. It's going to take you a long time. It's massive. And help you out. September 17th, 1787, what took place? And what took place September 17th, 2011? our first major step towards full county and state authority, sovereignty, and rights and protection of we the people, asserted properly through jurisdiction and delegation of authority. Now, although the founding or first principles has been greatly left out of some of the paperworks, people are learning as fast as they can, and they cannot be faulted. That's why we have things like the conferences. In 2 weeks, attendees are going to get the most up-to-date information and going clear back to the Articles of Confederation. And we will stress those first principles that all this is based on, ladies and gentlemen. For you see, people can fight the symptoms all day long. They can fight and fight and fight to drive without a driver's license for literally years and decades of their life. And if, and only if, they might be successful, they might have gained some additional privileges just for themselves. But did it help their fellow countrymen or the state of our republic? No. You see, most people are embroiled in chasing their tails. And it's a purposeful thing done by many of the so-called big patriot talk show hosts and websites. Keep people stirred up chasing their tail, attacking the symptoms instead of attacking the disease. And the only way to fix and restore our constitutional republic is to attack the disease. And that disease is a federal government that has overstretched all of its constitutional limitations and gotten into every facet of a state or county or individual's life. And until all of that is turned back to what was envisioned for this great country, we'll never have that prosperity that we once had, and that freedom and that zeal and that spirit that made us, this constitutional republic, stand out in all history to all peoples around the world. And I guarantee you, when that is restored, ladies and gentlemen, or a bunch of us die trying, but when that is restored, you will see our economy, our way of life, expand like you cannot believe. Your freedoms. Crime drops. Crime can be directly tied to government oppressive laws. I have the reports done by social economists and psychologists in universities. It's all been documented. When you are oppressed, crime goes up, economies go down, desperation increases. When you are free to thrive in a free enterprise system and free to travel where you will at your own whim and utilize the resources that God gave us to their full extent and foster them and be a steward of those resources, whether it was sheep, cattle, fish, water, trees, copper, coal, it doesn't matter. The air, solar, wind power, it doesn't matter. Alternative hydrogen engines. When you are free to prosper, you bring wealth of spirit, wealth of economy, wealth of freedom to yourself and your countrymen around you. And ladies and gentlemen, we need that more than ever in this country and around the world. And this is the way you do it. All these things, all these years, people have written me and said, you're crazy, it can't be done. Face-to-face of speaking engagements. The absolute joke of some of the tea parties, like in Prescott and Payson, wasting my time for hours on end, why they make excuses of why they can't do anything. That's why I don't go back. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to a musical break, and I'm going to get into some documents that will help you more so in your understanding. And that last snippet of a piece of music, by the way, was by Sleep, and I played them because not only do they kick ass, but that's what most people are in right now in this country, is asleep. But our next piece is by Angelo and his crew, Lost Sons of Heaven, and They're doing some wonderful work reaching out to people at all levels and all places they can touch with their music and the information they provide through their music and with their materials at concerts or venues or gigs or whatever mindset you come from. And this is called The Fall of Babylon. Gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley, with the Hour of the Time, this evening, Monday, the 19th of September, 2011. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what are some of those core principles that people seem to always forget? We've covered it over and over. We're going to give you another refresher. What are some of those core principles? Well, one of them is that the states are definitely distinct, separate, and foreign. That applies, ladies and gentlemen, to the states of the Union and their relationship with the United States government as well. Because remember, these are all legally defined proper terms. And this relationship, ladies and gentlemen, has been embodied in both state and federal court decisions. And I want to give you some of those court cases to look up and read for yourself. How about the state of Wisconsin versus Pelican Insurance Company? State of Wisconsin versus Pelican Insurance. Robinson versus Norado from the Rhode Island Supreme Court. Salonen versus Farley. That's Salonen. I'll spell it phonetically. Sierra, Alpha, Lima, October, November. Echo, November versus Farley. Merriam's Estate, an important case to look up. United States versus Perkins. And if you go to the Corpus Juris Secundum, the CJS, you can find out a lot more of this, and that's an esteemed legal encyclopedia, in fact. And another one. I'll tell you another one if you want to read. Now, it's an incredibly expensive book. We have it for our research. But this one is worthwhile if you feel like spending a lot of money, unfortunately. But maybe you and a whole group in your church or neighborhood or coworkers could all go in on it together. But get Federal Enclave Law. That is one heck of an education. Now, this is like an archive quality huge hardcover book. It's also like $200 for your law library. But just giving you some ideas there. Now, let's think about some of these cases. Let's look to the Rhode Island Supreme Court. What did they say in Robinson versus Norado? Quote, in the sense of public international law, the several states of the Union are neither foreign to the United States nor are they foreign to each other. But such is not the case of the field of private international law. That it is the settled view of the Supreme Court that on questions of private international law, the states are foreign to the United States would seem to be clear from the decision in State of Wisconsin versus Pelican. In that case, Wisconsin, on a judgment obtained in one of her courts against the Louisiana Corporation, brought suit in the United States Supreme Court on the theory that Wisconsin was a foreign state and that the suit was founded upon a penal statute. The court held that it would not entertain the suit to enforce that statute, saying, at page 289, quote, by the law of England and the United States, the penal laws of a country do not reach beyond its own territory, except when extended by express treaty or statute to offenses committed abroad by its own citizens. And they must be administered in its own courts only, and cannot be enforced by the court of another country. That case has been frequently cited by the Supreme Court, and never has it been qualified in any manner. Now, the supreme clause of the federal constitution cannot, in our opinion, be legitimately construed to compel state courts to take jurisdiction and enforce such penal statutes. On that score, such statutes of the several states in the United States fall upon an equal footing. They are to be enforced or not enforced according to the rule of comity in private international law and not by reason of any mandate. To summarize our position, we hold that in the consideration of a statute like the one before us, this court has the right and authority to determine its character before allowing it to be enforced in the courts of the state. That if we find it to be penal, we refuse to enforce it regardless of its federal origin. And that the federal constitution does not require us to treat the United States in a matter of this nature more favorably than we do a sister state of the Union. The contrary view would make the state courts, in effect, inferior federal courts to enforce all federal statutes whenever Congress so declares. Again, Robinson versus Norado, ladies and gentlemen. And I mentioned Salonen that I spelled phonetically versus Farley. From Kentucky, quote, the government of the United States is foreign as to the states of the Union within rule of private international law, that penal statutes of one sovereignty will not be enforced by another. The defendants have correctly stated the well-established principle of law that the government of the United States is foreign as to the state of the Union within the rule of private international law, that the penal statutes of one sovereignty will not be enforced by another. It is universally recognized that foreign jurisdiction will not enforce penal statutes of another state. And there you can get even more cases, Galveston versus Wallace. And we have tons of others in the series. See Statehood and State Sovereignty audio series. And, again, Chief Justice Marshall made the short statement, the courts of no country execute the penal laws of another. Now, from the 19 CJS Section 883, quote, the United States government is a foreign corporation with respect to a state. Again, 19 CJS Corporation, subsection 883, citing Merriam's Estate. And affirmed in the United States versus Perkins. Now, the editors, just so you have some background information, ladies and gentlemen, a CJS reached this conclusion based on the issues and language surrounding the estate of William W. Merriam, a resident of Suffolk County, New York. At his death, Mr. Merriam willed his entire estate of both real and personal property to the United States. The tax assessor for New York imposed a tax against the United States for the inheritance of this estate, and the United States filed suit. The Court of Appeals in New York stated, quote, "The United States government as a body corporate is capable of taking a legacy, and a legacy to it is subject to the legacy tax, since such tax is imposed on the right of succession and not on the property," end quote. And they went on, ladies and gentlemen, the court in New York to state, quote, "Stock in a foreign corporation is subject to the legacy tax," end quote. And the decision of the state court was upheld in the appeal to the United States Supreme Court in United States versus Perkins. So the very concept, ladies and gentlemen, this is a cursory overview compared to the lengthy and detailed audio series as we've done. The concept that the states of the union are foreign to each other also applies to the issues of money and finance. In case you're wondering, some of you like that bend as well. Let's look at the Superior Court of Pennsylvania, Bell versus Anderson. Quote, "It is not necessary that a note or domestic bill of exchange be protested, but protest is required only with respect to foreign bills of exchange, the states of the union being foreign as do each other in that regard," end quote. And let's look at Schwartz versus O'Hara. Now, that's had to do with the schooling, and many of you researchers will remember me highlighting this case in detail in the past. But this is about the schooling of children who lived on land owned by a Veterans Administration hospital in Pennsylvania. Quote, "Township school district was not required to furnish free educational facilities for children who resided on grounds of Federal Veterans Administration Hospital, which was located in Township, where jurisdiction of grounds had been ceded by the Commonwealth to the United States. The appellant's further contention is that the children here under consideration are residents of the O'Hara Township School District, and are therefore entitled to attend the township's schools free of charge." And they went on to cite, ladies and gentlemen, for instance, the Pennsylvania School Code, quote, "Every child being a resident of any school district may attend the public schools in his district." And a provision in Pennsylvania law has said, "A child shall be considered a resident of the school district in which his parents or guardian of his person resides." But, ladies and gentlemen, neither the parents nor the guardians of these children reside in O'Hara Township. To be a resident of a particular political subdivision of a state, a person must reside on land over which the state has jurisdiction. It has long been held that persons living on federal reservations are not residents of the states wherein such reservations are situated. In the present instance, the federal government has exclusive jurisdiction of the area of O'Hara Township on which the VA hospital is located. Constitution of the United States, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, and Fort Leavenworth Railroad versus Lowe. A very important case, ladies and gentlemen. And to continue on, quote, "Nor is such jurisdiction impaired in the slightest degree by reason of the minor reservation in the Act of Secession of concurrent state jurisdiction merely for service of process. For, as you see in Fort Leavenworth Railroad versus Lowe, the Supreme Court said, quote, "When the title is acquired by purchase by consent of the legislatures of the states, the federal jurisdiction is exclusive of all state authority. This follows from the declaration of the Constitution that Congress shall have like authority over such place is, as it has over the district, which is the seat of government, that is, the power of exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever. Broader or clearer language cannot be used to exclude all other authority than that of Congress, and no other authority can be exercised over them, has been the uniform opinion of federal and state tribunals and of attorneys general. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the parents of 8 children living on the grounds of the VA hospital sought to have their children educated in the public schools of the local township for free, only to find out the local township's school district would not enroll them for free because the land where the 8 children lived was not under the jurisdiction of the state of Pennsylvania, but was under the exclusive jurisdiction of the United States government. And because in this case of proper secession from the state and acceptance by Congress, in this case on this land, the United States had the exact same authority over the Veterans Hospital grounds as it has over the District of Columbia. Because those grounds, through proper secession processes, had become a territorial enclave of the United States within the state of Pennsylvania and was separate, distinct, and foreign to the state. The United States is foreign to the states of the Union when dealing with issues within American society that have not been delegated to the United States of government. And the authority, ladies and gentlemen, of the state does not extend into a federal enclave within its boundaries except by concurrence of both the state and federal governments at the time of secession. And likewise, in reverse, ladies and gentlemen, a proprietorial or custodial interest only by the jurisdictional statutes fed out by the Eisenhower panel, which we have all those documents and have offered them in past audio series to the listeners. The famous Eisenhower documents or hearings clearly showed that in turn, just because a federal entity had some title or interest in some property within the territorial boundaries of a state, it did not automatically have exclusive or concurrent jurisdiction. In fact, most commonly is proprietorial or custodial jurisdiction only, which is next to nothing, ladies and gentlemen. And in fact, in those instances, by the federal government's own guidelines, the state did not give up any civil or criminal jurisdiction to the federal government or the agency working on behalf of them that has said proprietorial or custodial interest only. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand these principles. Now, I'm going to go to a break. And, in fact, this next song, I hope I got it right in order. But anyways, name is Seth, and he sent this one in. He plays acoustic guitar, and him and his wife sent this in to the Hour of the Time to contribute, so I want to use it on the air. This one's called Fell Asleep, and all these tunes are all different. We have all backgrounds in the audience and the research corps, and that's what's neat. But these people are proactive, ladies and gentlemen, and this is my little way of honoring some of these individuals and use their music here from across this country and from around the world when this is sent in, and they've made that effort.
Fell asleep in my dream. We were marching in the streets in protest and outrage at the calculated. Side by side, we were talking, nothing to hide. These rich men take pride in their sugar-coated lies, and for their wealth, send out brothers. Fell asleep. book with no country. Tell me, brother, where did it go? Tell me, mother, where's my home? I'm sorry, son, that land's been sold. I'm sorry, son, that land's been sold. I'm sorry, son, that land's been sold. Here's your shovel holding your home. And for all the blood we have shed, for all the blood they have shed, for all the blood we have shed, won't you bring your White House spread? I fell asleep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, another audience contribution there from Seth Bowles, fell asleep. And you probably heard the mention of the hour, the time, and Bill in there. I have to assume that's why he sent it to us. And some people sometimes ask me, well, why do you play this piece or that piece, and it's all crazy different backgrounds or genres or styles? And like I say it again, ladies and gentlemen, they made an effort. And that's what needs to be commended. I don't necessarily have to go out and enjoy that in my car, driving for 9 hours. Maybe that particular style. Most of you probably wouldn't like what I listen to. Okay? They made an effort, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what makes them an ally. And I saw that all around us. Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Real Americans standing up for a constitutional republic. Not hucksters with bullshit screen names and chat rooms and comment sections. Not fly-by-night patriots that wave the flag when they're assured of their safety. Real people, ladies and gentlemen, of all ages. Teenagers. The elderly with walkers and wheelchairs. The disabled. Men, women. Hispanics, if that's the proper word. Blacks, whites, Japanese. I mean, everything you could imagine. There. And ladies and gentlemen, when that sweeps the country, which the Alliance and Hour of the Time has been the spearhead of such a movement, that is when we'll have our country back. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, tonight you've been listening to the Hour of the Time, Monday the 19th of September 2011, with your host here, Doyle Shamley. Tonight's free research offer, just email me directly why the broadcast is new and live tonight only, and just reference public international law, and I'll send you that. And whoever answers that question first based on email timestamp, what occurred on September 17th, I'll send you a massive constitutional treatise. It's going to take you a long, long time to download. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in, and I hope everyone has a safe and a studious evening, and be sure to